And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side of Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, not just the radio. I'm also talking about how much we have in terms of people who live stream the show and then all you podcasters. I won't go through my whole thing like I do sometimes, but I just want to say, no matter where you catch the show, it just, it amazes me that we have all of y'all in the Right Side family. And you're the reason why we do what we do. I can't thank you enough because literally for the last 4.5 years, this has been a joy. There are days when I'm downstairs and I am, you know, doing the law firm stuff, and I come upstairs to the studio, and my day downstairs might have been rough, and I come upstairs and it feels better because I'm with y'all. So thank you very much for being a part of our lives. All right, that being said, there's some other people that we are also thankful for on Thankful Thursdays. And they come in every Thursday, and they come in with strong opinions, but they're also a big part of the family as well. So let me just call the roll on this segment. So the dynamic diva of dilatory discourse from Huntsville, Lee from Huntsville, are you there?
I'm here.
You are. We're glad. All right. And then I hear he's like lounging with his toes in the sand right now. The silky smooth Butterman, are you there?
I am here calling in from the Gulf Shores State Park down here.
Wow. That's, by the way, I got to ask, are you staying at the new Gulf State Park, the newly revised, reversed hotel?
We are.
Is it nice? I haven't been there yet. I've
full on construction going on 10 feet from me right outside. They're building a new pool.
Well, good. Well, hey, I got to say, that means I've got a quorum. Hit me some whoop-whoops. All right, you guys, I appreciate both of you, especially with Butters calling in from the beach, which, by the way, I'm insanely jealous, but that's okay. First question for you is, we talked about it a lot before you came on the air, but like more and more we're seeing leftist violence. And I got to ask, what are your thoughts on the amount of rhetoric being generated by left-wing politicians? And does that rhetoric, in your opinion, actually inspire or incite some of this violence? You first, Butterman, what do you think?
The simple answer is, of course it does. You call everybody a racist, a fascist, you know, any of us, even on the right, if we actually believe those things, especially those of us that have dealt with, you know, taking up arms and going to combat, you know, yeah, we go do what's necessary, and sometimes violence is necessary to fight such extreme awful things. So, you know, you get enough people saying enough things, then they actually believe it, then they justify in their minds that they're doing the right thing, they're saving humanity. And it's really scary, and it really gives me pause to think about what exactly is the future of how we deal with conversations in politics, because it's clear there's no intellectual honesty. People screaming that Charlie Kirk was a racist and a fascist and spewed hate, they're just insane, and I have no idea how to talk to them.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know what? I won't jump in yet. Let me go to Lee first. Lee, your thoughts on the amount of rhetoric we're seeing, and is that rhetoric what's sparking some of this violent behavior on the left?
It absolutely is, and has been. This rhetoric's been going on for some time, and I believe the death of Charlie Kirk was culmination of that rhetoric, because it really speaks to people who suffer from mental illness, like this person obviously seemed to be doing, in the sense of, you know, thinking he had to go and defend his, you know, trans boyfriend. I look at this and I think, Look at the difference, the stark difference. So the Democrats are all of a sudden screaming and yelling about both sides and hold hands and both sides and, oh, there's more violence on the, you know, they're doing anything to draw away your attention from the fact in the last 5 years, literally the left's been on a killing spree. So I want to point out that Melissa Hortman in Minnesota, they bring her up all the time, you know, as a whataboutism.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Melissa Hortman, they did a vote to honor her, you know, and condemn the violence. Every last person in the entire House voted for that. And it was every single Republican, is what I'm saying. Every single Republican voted for that.
Yeah.
When they had a vote on Charlie Kirk, a resolution for him, 58 Democrats voted no.
including our Alabama
like
Democrats.
They voted, yes. And Jasmine Crockett, who I think is has to be one of the dumbest members of Congress. I mean, her and AOC really, you know, they're like two horses with their noses right there. But I call it the Crockett line. If you're below the Crockett line, I can't even talk to you. It's like the Mendoza line in baseball. You're below the Crockett line.
Below the Crockett line. Write that down, JP. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Well, the problem is that there's so many below the Crockett line.
Yeah,
that's true. But she sets the bar. I mean, it's tough. But all I'm saying is, she actually came out and said that it hurt her heart, which I'm surprised she has one. It must be, you know, dark. That only two white Democrats voted no for Charlie Kirk. Like, she's rooting for more people to vote no for a man who was assassinated. I just have to look at this and go, we can't move forward together.
Yeah.
We can move forward separate, but I don't know how we move forward together.
So I'll be honest with you. I'll jump in here and say the interesting point about the Charlie Kirk murder in this discussion, I mean, there's a lot of interesting points, I guess, but the interesting point for the purpose of this discussion is rhetoric and the ability to have civil discourse. The model for that was Charlie Kirk. That's what he did. He championed the idea of differing opinions having their platform together and still being able to walk away from it. And he's the one they killed. So it's really obvious.
I think that the Charlie Kirk's assassination, and particularly the reaction that occurred by so many on both sides, just the concept of left versus right or Republican versus Democrat is going away. And I think what is going to occur is people that are truly Americans and want an American way of life versus those that just don't. And I don't know what that means. I don't know what that looks like, but part of that is you have Democrat elected leaders that are spewing rhetoric that it's nonsense. It's utter intellectual nonsense, and it's not worth talking to them anymore. But I don't know. I don't know what that means.
Well,
but you know what Charlie said about when you stop talking, that's when the violence starts.
I know. That's what's scary so much.
Yeah.
But they've stopped talking. They have stopped talking. Yeah.
You know,
they stopped talking a long time ago. We just weren't paying attention to it.
I got to say, the other night when I was on CNN, one of the highlights of my night was Cornel West, who I went into the show thinking this was going to be madness. I thought that I was going to wind up having to, you know, deal with all kinds of like race baiting rhetoric and things, and I had it totally wrong. That was the most gracious man, and granted, there may be times when we wouldn't get along as well, but it was actually funny. The way we interacted, and I enjoyed his company. Now, Anna Navarro sitting across from me, not so much. And even the host, Abby Phillip, was driving me crazy the other night. But Cornel West was actually a hoot, and I totally enjoyed his company. And we couldn't be more polar opposite in many ways. But what I discovered was he prides himself on having discourse, and so that was kind of cool. All right, I got to get another question to you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, real quick, that's what I think there are going to be legitimate liberals, I won't call them leftists, legitimate liberals that still actually want to have a legitimate country and a legitimate conversation.
That's right.
And we're going to have to figure out what that looks like moving forward.
I had a friend who passed away from cancer a few years ago. Actually, he was one of my attorneys at my firm, and we lost him a few years ago. And he was an avowed Democrat. And more than once, I would stop by his office and I'd look at him and go, "You know, you're my favorite Democrat." And he would laugh and go, "That's okay. You're my favorite Republican." And we would just laugh about it. But anyway, let me do one more question before I hit the break and go into segment two. So totally different topic. Trump at the UN. Y'all, this to me was just the height of madness. So Trump went to the UN the other day to address the General Assembly. And he gets there, and the first thing that happens is the escalator's running. He and Melania get on it, and as soon as they get on it, the escalator stops, and they have to walk up it. And I get it, but there's an escalator there for a reason, because it was a long haul up. And that was an obvious slight. And then he gets up there to give his speech, and the same microphone that the previous speaker had used, which worked quite well, was hard to hear for part of his speech. And then he gets up there to do his speech from the teleprompter, and oh, by the way, the teleprompter went out. And so he just wanted to start speaking extemporaneously, and he even made a joke about it. But it was real obvious that what was happening was there was a lot of passive-aggressive behind-the-scenes stuff, because there had actually been liberals saying they were going to do stuff like this. And then he called them out. I mean, he called them out hard. He told them they were failing at their mission, that they hadn't accomplished anything in years, that there was no UN champion trying to end wars, that Christians were being persecuted worldwide, that they were climate change hoaxers. Anyway, all that to say, is it time for the U.S. to pull out of the UN? You first, Lee.
Oh, I've thought this for years. Nobody pays their dues hardly but us. We support the whole entire big nasty mess. I thought we should have pulled out and shuttered it up years ago, personally. They're good for nothing, honestly. They really, I mean, I just need someone to give me anything, you know, any reason why we should still maintain this since we're supporting it. And look at the way that they, you know, treat our president with disdain and little booby traps. But they just should be lucky it wasn't Biden because he couldn't have made his way up that escalator. It's just been over. I'm just saying they're purposely trying to trip him up because they know that he's going to have these fiery words for them. But the funniest thing to me is you want him to just riff? Okay. He can do it. And you aren't going to like the results.
Yeah. In fact, he's probably worse for you if he does. Butter is about a minute and a half. What do you think? Is it time for us to pull out of the UN or not?
Yes. Yeah, well, I mean, what that much disrespect, and obviously, even in trying to be disrespectful, I mean, it's tongue in cheek that you take a teleprompter away from Trump. They're like, how dumb are you?
Yeah,
you just made his whole point even more powerful.
Yeah,
you know, of all the people, probably the last 6 years, you take a teleprompter away from it ain't Trump. That doesn't work. That just shows you're a complete idiot and dumb. So, yeah, what are they doing for us? How are they making the world better?
All right, we're losing your signal a little bit there, Butter, so stand still, bro. But I will just end this segment by saying I agree. Now, I'm not sure I'm ready for us to pull out, like we won't participate anymore, because they're occupying some serious real estate in New York. But I am determined that it's time for us to stop funding the entire thing, and the others better start ponying up, because I'm wondering what in the world we're doing all this for just to go there and have our president disrespected. All right, we got to take a break. Taking a break right now. That's round one with Butters and Lee on Thankful Thursday. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, we're back to round two with Butters and Lee. This is the part where they ask me questions. I just sit there with bated breath hoping I have an answer. So I'm going to go ladies first this time. Lee, pray tell, what is your question for moi?
So I was wondering if you had seen the videos on the guys that went and set up a table at Tennessee State University right up in the road in Nashville.
I did. I saw a very short video on that.
Yeah, I'd recommend watching a bit longer, but it kind of follows along what we've been talking about as far as rhetoric goes. These guys quickly were pretty much in danger and had to, you know, they set up a table, wanted to have a conversation, had a couple of conversations going, and then were essentially menaced by a mob and chased off campus with their people throwing things at their cars. They're leaving. The police were really having to work hard to get them out of there. And my question for you is this sort of a harbinger of what's to come if this is type of thing is now happening on college campus, you know, to this extent?
So two things. I don't think that's going to be on every campus. I think that there was an attitude at that campus that quickly gathered around them and made it difficult. I will say too, I don't know the status of what that was. I don't know if those kids did that as a spontaneous moment on their own. I think they did, and I really think that. And so here's the thing. I really think that for the moment, not that you don't have free speech rights, but there's also wisdom, right? So I would encourage wisdom. And don't think that just because you have a right means you have to force it on others in a way that could put you at risk. So my point in saying that is, like Brylan Hollihan, the young guy who's going to be from Alabama, he's an Auburn student, going to take over the next 10 weeks or 10 tours of the Charlie Kirk TPUSA tour. He's going to have security at every event, and he's going to have, you know, lots of things in place. And so that kind of wisdom is great. I understand why they're doing it that way. These kids who set up the table and just started going at it might should have thought that through a little bit better. Not that they didn't have a right to do it, but I have to question the wisdom. I'm not saying it's their fault either. It's not at all. They got, I mean, they got ramrodded. They got shunted out. But the fact is, just because you can doesn't always mean you should, and you better be wise about how you apply your rights, because you could wind up facing a situation like they did. The other piece of that is, though, I hope there's going to be some campus discipline for that crowd. Somewhere, someone's got to do that. That's yeah, I know, probably not. But
they put out a statement basically saying that they were proud of their students who acted responsibly. I'm like, what?
Who acted responsibly?
Did they see the same video I did?
What university was this? Was it Tennessee State? Is that what you said?
Tennessee State.
It's in Nashville.
Is that one of the HBCUs? Yeah, it is, isn't it?
It is.
It's one of the HBCUs. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. Were these even students at the university? I don't think they were. Were they?
No. These guys go around campus to campus.
Okay.
Having conversations. So no, they weren't students.
Yeah. So I don't think that was well thought out. And I think in the immediate aftermath of Charlie Kirk's murder, they probably should have thought that through a little better. But at the same time, that campus leadership better start getting hold of their people, because you can't run a campus like that. Otherwise they're going to feel emboldened to do it to whoever they want to next. And then they'll turn on a professor, and then they'll turn on, somebody else, and then they'll turn on a frat house to frat house. It's going to be mayhem. So you better get under control right now, Tennessee State. That's all I got to say. All right, about 3.5 minutes left. Let me jump on over to Butters. What you got for me, Butterman?
So did you see the little issue with DHS using Theo Vaughn in a video clip?
I did not see this. Tell me.
Okay, so DHS... used a video clip of Theo Vaughn from a movie where he said, "So I see you've been deported," or something along that line. And Theo Vaughn, I saw it because Theo Vaughn replied to it and said, "Please take this down. I didn't give you any permission to do this." Mm-hmm. And indeed, DHS has taken it down. I'm curious on your thoughts on how did that happen? Who's the clueless person that's going and making content like that on behalf of a government entity?
Some 19-year-old intern helping run the social media account who had the passcode to get in there
for Department of Homeland Security.
Oh, listen, brother, you'd be amazed. You'd be amazed. But that being said, so Theo Vaughn didn't want it. Okay, I get it. The other question is, what was already licensed in the public arena? If this was a clip that was part of a, did they actually remove it from a movie and copyright infringement, or was this something that was already in the public arena for use?
I can tell you where this came from.
Okay.
This came from a guy handed him his cell phone and said, "My friend's getting deported. Can you tell him something?" Just some random dude. And then he looked in the cell phone and said that. So it was actually the guy who owned the cell phone. He owned that content.
Interesting. Okay. You know what? The end result is DHS took it down because they were asked to. Okay. No harm, no foul. But Theo Vaughn, I question why he wants to do it in a movie and then not let it be seen after that. I mean, all you got to do is give attribution, give credit to where the movie came from. And we got about 10 seconds.
Yeah. Well, I think there's plenty of celebrities they could have gone out to get the exact same effect that would have voluntarily done that. And I just question that's just kind of adding fuel onto an already dangerous fire of misusing content and saying things and misleading people.
So. That's fair. And the music's playing. Appreciate you both. Butters, enjoy your time at the beach. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Hour number 3 coming up.